Hello and welcome to the UC Press Podcast, the podcast from the University of California Press. My name is Chris Gondek, and today I'm speaking with Robert A. Scott, the author of Miracle Cures, Saints, Pilgrimage, and the Healing Powers of Belief. Robert Scott, a sociologist, was for 18 years the deputy director of the Center for Advanced Study in the Behavioral Sciences at Stanford University. Among other books, he's the author of The Gothic Enterprise, A Guide to Understanding the Medieval Cathedral, which is also published by UC Press. Robert Scott, thanks so much for taking time to talk to the UC Press podcast today.
Happy to be here.
Miracles are a pretty controversial topic, which is why I was fascinated by your account of what a person has to do for the Catholic Church to proclaim a miracle cure has occurred. Could you explain the process?
Sure. There are two distinct sets of practices. One is followed by the official church, and the other by ordinary lay individuals who are making appeals to saints for relief of suffering and then publicize those accounts. The church practices now are highly formalized, and they are aimed at attempting to rule out what might be called false positives, that is, trying to ascertain if there are known naturalistic causes of illness that could explain how someone who had been ill, appealed to a saint, and then recovered might be explained by modern medicine. The procedures that are followed in these cases are very lengthy, they're very thorough, and I should add they are very expensive. They include what amounts to subpoenaing of medical records, testimony given by witnesses, opportunities for cross-examination of that testimony, and so on. And it's only after such scrutiny where it's established that there's no known naturalistic explanation for the event, that a clerical committee, commonly appointed by a bishop, a presiding bishop, is prepared to consider the possibility that the event in question might be considered to be a genuine miracle granted by God. Given all that, it shouldn't surprise us to know that the number of such miracles is really fairly small. In the case of Lourdes, since it was established in the middle of the 19th century, there have only been a total of 66 accepted miracles based on these procedures, and this in the face of tens of millions of visitors who have gone there. In the case of miracle reports by ordinary people, these claims are almost always based on what might be thought of as self-reports, that is, people have been suffering from some form of physical ailment. On their own initiative, they make an appeal to a saint to intercede with God on their behalf, and then report that having done so, they now feel better. The numbers of such reports are huge, and these are in many ways the cases of greatest interest to me in my book, which draws on recent biomedical, social, and behavioral science research into the role of belief, emotions, culture, immediate environmental cues to try to account for the onset, course, and outcome of illnesses that people have, from which they've been suffering.
Let's talk about saints. For someone who was not raised Catholic, it was this book actually answered a lot of questions for me that I've had over time about certain parts of Catholic dogma. And when you said saints, it seems that a very important part of this whole process is the question of having a saint intercede for you.
Yes.
So where did that come from?
Well, that is a doctrine which is deeply rooted in Christian theology that dates back to the medieval period and before that time. And the basic idea is that it is only God who has the power to grant a miracle of any kind, and it happens because individuals make an appeal to saints, and saints then take those appeals on to God. And the logic of it goes like this, that an individual in medieval theology would be very loath to make an appeal directly to God on the grounds that they are humble human beings and God would have no reason to want to pay the slightest bit of attention to them. The notion of God was that of a very angry force who might punish people for being presumptuous enough to make that appeal directly to them. So you needed an intermediary. Saints were ideal intermediaries from the point of view of people who are looking for miracle cures because of two things. One is they are people who earned their sainthood by having lived lives of exemplary Christian virtue, and therefore God was in some sense beholden to them. At the same time, they were people who had lived their lives as human beings, and so ordinary individuals had some sense about how to cultivate a relationship with them because they had once lived lives as humans. And so the activity then was one of the individual suppliant trying to cultivate, gain the attention of the saint through venerating the saint, gifting the saint, and so on. If the saint heard that appeal, they would then go to God and ask God to grant this miracle, not on behalf, not as a reward to the individual who made the original appeal, but out of God's sense of obligation to the saint. So if a miracle were granted, it was something that God gave to the saint, not necessarily to the individual, and then it kind of got passed on down the line. And that was the basic idea in medieval theology, and that basic practice is one which continues to persist even today.
So that's the theology. But this book came out of your research on medieval cathedrals, and I got a sense that although there certainly were theological reasons why people interceded to saints, there were also slightly more earthly reasons why cathedrals economically needed saints. Could you explain?
Absolutely.
Could you explain that?
Yes. The reason is that cathedrals were immensely expensive undertakings, and at a time when the supply of liquid capital that would have been available for any purpose at all was extremely small, and the demands on it very urgent and compelling for all sorts of things, not including cathedral building. So the people who designed and built these medieval cathedrals had to rely on any sources of income that they could depend on. And in looking into this, one thing that I noticed was that for some of these cathedrals, Canterbury would be an example, pilgrims who were being drawn to the tomb of Thomas Becket, who was the martyred Archbishop of Canterbury, where miracle cures were reported as happening, would come there by the hundreds of thousands in the course of a year and would, as a way of kind of attracting the attention of the saint, gift the saint. Well, this left money and valuables in the hands of the cathedral chapter, and they would then be gathered up and used to underwrite the costs of some of the building campaigns that went into the construction of Canterbury Cathedral. So these shrines were very valuable and could be very reliable sources of revenue that the cathedral builders could call upon in order to underwrite the costs of their construction.
Well, let's say I am one of these people in medieval England, and my local cathedral has a saint which has been kind of spotty as far as his or her service to the people around the neighborhood. But I know that there's some alleged saint maybe 300-400 miles away that really works quite well on what I have. In a way, unlike doctor shopping you have today, a little bit more saint shopping. So I got to hit the road. What am I going to expect?
Well, the process of pilgrimage is central to understanding why people thought that there would be health benefits associated with venerating saints. It was common for people, let's say, who were natives of Canterbury to be advised that they should not venerate Becket, who was the neighborhood saint, so to speak, but rather that they should venture to Winchester or Salisbury or Durham or to the continent in order to seek a cure. And that says that I think that pilgrimage is an integral part of the whole process of healing that goes along with this. Now, why should that be the case? Well, there are a couple of reasons. In the medieval period, sickness and sin were equated. That is, it was believed that the reason why someone became sick is because they had committed a sin which was offensive to God and they were being punished. Because of that, it meant that if you became sick, not only did you have the physical symptoms of illness, but you then had to deal with the problem of stigma and of being marginalized and denigrated by fellow citizens who believed that you had sinned and that God was punishing you for that. And more than that, because the whole community depended on God's protection for against the various sources of harm they faced, you jeopardized the whole community. So it raised a whole set of issues that would have been very difficult to deal with while remaining in the community. And one way to deal with them is to extract yourself and get away from that kind of toxic social environment and get on the road so that if you could go and claim a miracle cure when you came back, that was an indication that God had forgiven you, so the community's relationship with God was restored. But also, you came back as something of a religious celebrity because this was an indication of your enhanced standing in the eyes of God. So that was one piece of it. But in addition, most of these pilgrimages took place in the springtime. People would have spent the winters basically shuttered into these hovels, peasants' hovels where they lived, which were very unsanitary, very poorly ventilated, poorly heated, little protection against the elements, and with a very restricted diet, which is just a natural kind of seedbed for generating all manner of illnesses. Well, when people got on the road and undertook pilgrimage in the springtime, it would have led to a greatly varied diet, a much healthier diet, and since many of the illnesses they had were due to dietary deficiencies, these would have been corrected in the natural course of things. In addition, these communities were very intimately localized. That is, rumors, gossip, scandal, and so on just kind of flew around because they were very isolated communities. And escaping from those constraints basically gave people a sense of new freedom, but left them open to the very belief systems which led them to think that they were going to, that the saint was going to actually be able to benefit them. That is, in that way, I would tie in research on belief, on placebo, and the importance of believing in the efficacy of the treatment as very important in terms of how people respond.
Well, that explains the things that were going on in the medieval period. One can certainly understand a change in the physical hygiene issues they had, and also probably a lot of undiagnosed mental stresses. But Lourdes was founded in the 19th century. The Shrine of Fatima in Portugal is the early 20th century. So are there the same causes today when someone proclaims a miracle cure, since a lot of the issues that you talk about from the medieval period would seem to be mitigated now in the 21st century?
Well, in some respects they are, but if you realize that it gets back to the issue of what is being reported. And what's being reported are self-reports, which means subjective impressions of how you are feeling. And here, the research on placebo is absolutely central to understanding this, because what the placebo research, the most robust placebo research demonstrated in modern biomedical research, is what is called placebo analgesia. And that is, if you can convince people that what you are doing will help them, you will get genuine pain relief associated with that. It's been very carefully documented. The biochemistry of it has been documented. Brain scans have shown how this works and so on. Well, what's also happening at Lourdes is exactly that, that you get people who are suffering from illnesses. Most illnesses are going to have some form of discomfort associated with it. They go there convinced that the Virgin will intercede on their behalf and help them, and it produces genuine relief from discomfort. That may not be long-lasting, but it is long-lasting enough for people to be absolutely convinced that this form of practice does indeed help them and is therapeutically beneficial.
Robert Scott, the author of Miracle Cures, Saints' Pilgrimage, and the Healing Powers of Belief. Thanks so much for talking to the UC Press podcast today.
Thank you very much.
For more information about this and other titles, please visit our website at www.ucpress.edu. You can also become a fan of the UC Press on Facebook, or you can follow us on Twitter, where we are at UC Press. Thanks for listening to this episode of the University of California Press podcast. Copyright 2010, the University of California Press. All rights reserved.